that your way may be known upon earth, your saving help among all nations, all nations.
Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting, hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Hymn number 224.
My ever friend, when all material streams are dried, thy fullness is the same. May I with this be satisfied and glory in thy name.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is, Cast Off the False Picture. I shall be reading from the Amplified Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, discoverer and founder of Christian Science. However, just before I start the readings, I'd like to start with a short piece out of a Christian Science magazine called the Christian Science Sentinel. There was an article written recently in November 2012 called Honesty That Heals by Robert von der Laik. And I'm going to read just a couple of short paragraphs out of that. He's talking about how important it is to have honesty in the healing process. And so in relating to that point of honesty, he says, one of the greatest explanations of this issue, being honesty, is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus tells us, first, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. He doesn't say to ignore the mote in our brother's eye, but he does tell us that we must see clearly before we call attention to it. Wouldn't this clear seeing be the honest view of man? Wouldn't it be the correct view of man that heals the sick? Remember, whenever we see someone err, even though it is not our fault, we have a responsibility to correct our own thinking. Mary Baker Eddy writes, it is no more Christianly scientific to see disease than it is to experience it. And the same principle surely applies to sin. We have a duty to correct our thought and to take the next deeper step of honesty by seeing clearly, beholding the perfect man. With this deeper, honest view, we are empowered to take actions that bless, even on issues that appear to be out of our hands. And now, from the Amplified Bible, Psalms. Oh my God, my life is cast down upon me, and I find the burden more than I can bear. Therefore will I earnestly remember you from the land of the Jordan River, and the summits of Mount Hermon, from the little mountain Mizar. Roaring deep calls to roaring deep at the thunder of your waterspouts. All your breakers and your rolling waves have gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? My enemies taunt and reproach me, while they say continually to me, where is your God? Why are you cast down on my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God, and wait expectantly for him. For I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. You are the God of my strength, my stronghold, in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. Yes, with the lyre will I praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God, and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my sad countenance and my God. Jonah. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and said, I cried out of my distress to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of Sheol cried I, and you heard my voice. I have been cast out of your presence and your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the extinction of life. The abyss surrounded me. The seaweed was wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms and the very roots of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit and corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted upon me, crushing me, I earnestly and seriously remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to false, useless, and worthless idols forsake their own source of mercy and loving kindness. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation and deliverance belong to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Ezekiel. Cast away from you all your transgressions by which you have transgressed against me, and make you a new mind and heart, and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn, be converted, and live. Psalms. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. He has redeemed my life in peace from the battle that was against me, so that none came near me, for they were many who strove with me. God will hear and humble them, even he who abides of old. Selah, pause and calmly think of that, because in them there has been no change of heart, and they do not fear, revere, and worship God. My companion has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken and profaned his agreement of friendship and loyalty. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. I will trust in, lean on, and confidently rely on you. Matthew. And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples, and gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out, and to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness and infirmity. Jesus sent out these 12, charging them, As you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely, without pay, you have received. Freely, without charge, give. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living, like a grain of mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Luke. And he told them this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the vine dresser, see here, for these 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it continue also to use up the ground, to deplete the soil, intercept the sun, and take up room? But he replied to him, leave it alone, sir, just this one more year, till I dig around it and put manure on the soil. Then perhaps it will bear fruit after this. But if not, you can cut it down and out. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman there who for 18 years had had an infirmity caused by a spirit, a demon of sickness. She was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or to look upward. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are released from your infirmity. Then he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was made straight, and she recognized and thanked and praised God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done, so come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath. But the Lord replied to him, saying, you play actors, hypocrites. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it out to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Revelation. And a great sign, wonder, warning of future events of ominous significance, appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and with a crown-like garland, tiara of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out in her birth pangs, in the anguish of her delivery. Then another ominous sign, wonder, was seen in heaven. Behold, a huge, fiery red dragon, with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 kingly crowns upon his heads. His tail swept across the sky and dragged down a third of the stars and flung them to earth. And the dragon stationed himself in front of the woman, who was about to be delivered, so that he might devour her child as soon as she brought it forth. And she brought forth a male child, one who was destined to shepherd, rule all the nations with an iron staff. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels went forth to battle with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they were defeated, and there was no room found for them in heaven any longer. And the huge dragon was cast down and out, that age-old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, he who is the seducer, deceiver of all humanity the world over, he was forced out. Then I heard a strong, loud voice in heaven saying, now it has come, the salvation and the power and the kingdom, the dominion, the reign of our God, and the power, the sovereignty, the authority of his Christ the Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren, he who keeps bringing before our God charges against them day and night, has been cast out. And now from Science and Health. Jesus uncovered and rebuked sin before he cast it out. Of a sick woman he said that Satan had bound her, and to Peter he said, "Thou art an offense unto me." He came teaching and showing men how to destroy sin, sickness, and death. He said of the fruitless tree, "It is hewn down." It is believed by many that a certain magistrate who lived in the time of Jesus left this record, "His rebuke is fearful." The strong language of our master confirms this description. The only civil sentence which he had for error was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Still stronger evidence that Jesus' reproof was pointed and pungent is found in his own words, showing the necessity for such forcible utterance when he cast out devils and healed the sick and sinning. The relinquishment of error deprives material sense of its false claims. His consummate example was for the salvation of us all, but only through doing the works which he did and taught others to do. His purpose in healing was not alone to restore health, but to demonstrate his divine principle. He was inspired by God, by truth and love, in all that he said and did. The motives of his persecutors were pride, envy, cruelty, and vengeance, inflicted on the physical Jesus, but aimed at the divine principle love, which rebuked their sensuality. Jesus was unselfish. His spirituality separated him from sensuousness and caused the selfish materialist to hate him. But it was this spirituality which enabled Jesus to heal the sick, cast out evil, and raise the dead. Sickness is a growth of error, springing from mortal ignorance or fear. Error rehearses error. What causes disease cannot cure it. The soil of disease is mortal mind, and you have an abundant or scanty crop of disease according to the seedlings of fear. Sin and the fear of disease must be uprooted and cast out. Jesus cast out evil spirits or false beliefs. The Apostle Paul bade men have the mind that was in the Christ. Jesus did his own work by the one Spirit. He said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." He never described disease so far as can be learned from the Gospels, but he healed disease. Christian Science, properly understood, would disabuse the human mind of material beliefs which war against spiritual facts. And these material beliefs must be denied and cast out to make place for truth. You cannot add to the contents of a vessel already full. Laboring long to shake the adult's faith in matter, and to inculcate a grain of faith in God, an inkling of the ability of spirit to make the body harmonious. The author has often remembered our master's love for little children, and understood how truly such as they belong to the heavenly kingdom. If thought is startled at the strong claim of science for the supremacy of God or truth, and doubts the supremacy of good, ought we not, contrariwise, to be astounded at the vigorous claims of evil and doubt them, and no longer think it natural to love sin and unnatural to forsake it. No longer imagine evil to be ever present and good absent. Truth should not seem so surprising and unnatural as error, and error should not seem so real as truth. Sickness should not seem so real as health. There is no error in science, and our lives must be governed by reality in order to be in harmony with God, the divine principle of all being. When once destroyed by divine science, the false evidence before the corporeal senses disappears. Hence the opposition of sensuous man to the science of soul and the significance of the scripture. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The central fact of the Bible is the superiority of spiritual over physical power. Divine science does not put new wine into old bottles, soul into matter, nor the infinite into the finite. Our false views of matter perish as we grasp the facts of spirit. The old belief must be cast out, or the new idea will be spilled, and the inspiration, which is to change our standpoint, will be lost. Now, as of old, truth casts out evils and heals the sick. Those who are willing to leave their nets or to cast them on the right side for truth have the opportunity now, as aforetime, to learn and to practice Christian healing. The scriptures contain it. And from Revelation, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." That false claim, that ancient belief, that old serpent whose name is devil, evil, claiming that there is intelligence in matter, either to benefit or to injure men, is pure delusion. The red dragon, and it is cast out by Christ, truth, the spiritual idea, and so proved to be powerless. The words "cast unto the earth" show the dragon to be nothingness, dust to dust, and therefore in his pretense of being a talker, he must be a lie from the beginning. His angels or messages are cast out with their author. For victory over a single sin, we give thanks and magnify the Lord of hosts. What shall we say of the mighty conquest over all sin? A louder song, sweeter than has ever before reached high heaven, now rises clearer and nearer to the great heart of Christ. For the accuser is not there, and love sends forth her primal and everlasting strain. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.